Andrew Stevens, the interview.
Well, good evening. We are joined this evening by Colvex. They're a group that started back in 2001. But before all that, we're going to have a little bit of a history from the members themselves. Again, to start with Gavin now.
Hello. Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah, well, I'm Gavin. I'm the drummer with Colvex. And if you want to know about what happened before Colvex, yeah. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Where were you? What did you do? Did you have a previous band that...
Yeah, well, I mean, Simon and me had a band before Colvex that was on the go for about 4 or 5 years, and we played just about anywhere and everywhere around London, around Hertfordshire, home counties, just about any gig that there was going, we took it, and that band's called The Secrets, which is a bit of the good, bad and ugly, really, to be honest. Some very good ideas, but I think at the time we were a lot younger and probably couldn't play as well as we can now, and... yeah, I mean, we had some highs and had some lows, and then after a few years, as these things do, it kind of fizzled out. But then Simon had an idea to start something else.
To reform under a completely different banner.
Rebrand,
yes.
And is that how Colvex came to light in 2001?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of stepped away from The Secrets, and I suppose sort of silent for a couple of years, wrote a bunch of songs and thought, well, I love playing. I put an advert out and didn't really think much of it, and you know, when you least expect it, someone turns up, a bass player, which is very hard to find, and you know, a decent bunch of people. But I thought, wow, who do I find to play drums? I thought, well, there's only one person. So Gav was back in the band again.
So Gavin's the main drummer.
So it sounded like some sort of dictatorial move to get rid of the other two people out of The Secrets, but it actually wasn't that way. There's just fun about playing live. There's just something about, you know, just the thrill of doing it. And
you do miss it if you don't do it as well. Yeah. That's the thing I've found. Yeah. You know, any time that we've gone for a long period without playing, you really do get itchy feet, I think.
Writing songs and recording them in the studio is all well and good, but you need to vent them at a decent volume. And so that's what we've been doing since 2001 and through various lineup changes. Two bass players. Third one is sitting next to us.
Hello.
This is Dave.
Good evening, Dave. So when do you actually join Colvex then?
Not that long ago, actually. I think...
One of the newbies.
Began the audition process in February earlier this year, and then finally got through all of the auditions and was chosen as their replacement bass player sometime in mid-March, ready for us to start rehearsing for an upcoming gig that they already had booked, despite not having quite enough people to fill the stage.
That's right. Yeah. It was all very frantic, actually. I mean, it's a bit like the X Factor, to be honest. We had quite a few auditions and quite a few people interested, actually, which was nice. But I think when it came down to it, there was only one natural choice, I think, and he's the guy in the studio here.
Well, you have to say that.
I would have gone for the other one personally.
So, talking about gigs, you've done a few recently. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But who's the main sort of like singer songwriter? Do you all sort of like pitch in, or
that's two questions. Who's the main singer? I generally take the main vocals. In terms of who writes the songs, generally myself and Gav at the moment. Obviously, Dave being new.
Because at the moment, obviously, I'm just trying to get to grips with the wealth of material they already have written, so it'd be a bit wrong if I were to start ignoring the stuff they've already written and said, here's five tunes I'd like you guys to learn.
Yeah.
I think otherwise, if I did something like that, they might be putting out ads to do some more auditions for a replacement.
On the other hand,
slightly quieter bass player.
Give as good as he gets, I think. You know, we've made him learn all these things, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, I think sort of, obviously, because myself and Gav have been there from the beginning, you know, we've had a certain steer for Colvex, and it's been quite sort of... a sort of definitive idea, which, I mean, obviously we've had the experience of working together in the previous band, as Gav said, that was very much a young sort of
angry
angry, naive, to, you know, it was a case of sort of playing songs with your teeth, you know, baring your teeth and sort of head down, almost sort of indie aggression.
Yeah, rock. It was a lot of high drama, really, and a bit glam too at times. But I
so,
mean,
you know, with the age creeping in, you think a bit more melody, you know, something to, you know, your mother would actually like this time. So, and dare I say, she sort of does, which I think is probably something the reason to split up and
Oh my god.
And, start again, don't worry, I'll give you a call in a couple of years. But no, I mean, anyone's ideas is game, you know, and if anyone was to say, no, you can only do my ideas, I think the band wouldn't last that long.
So you're willing to for Dave to pitch in?
We're willing to listen.
And then tell him no.
I think not. No. We'll see what happens. If a song is good, a song is good.
I think in the past we've tended to write very much as individuals and bring a song to the band, and in some cases it's more or less written start to finish. But I think what we've started to do more recently, which I think is a very good development, is that we can actually collaborate a lot more, jam a lot more ideas, and we've been doing that recently, I think.
Trust a lot more that each, you can let someone come up with an idea, and you know this is going to be more along the same wavelength and the same ideas that you had in your head. I think in past experiences, sometimes you have this idea and it's so clear in your head, and when someone doesn't play it like that, you start to sort of make some sort of resentment almost that it's not how you've done your demo version.
Yeah, and I think
this is a lot more healthy.
There's more of an acceptance that if there is a song which maybe doesn't fit the mould, you just tell yourself, well, that's not right for the band. Whereas if you've got something which the other two then can, you know, grab some ideas from and pick up on, then you know you're onto something. So and there's plenty of that around.
Truly collaborative.
So as you said, you're all on the same wavelength. You all know the slight outcome you want from a group. So it all sort of like gels together nicely.
I would say we're all on the same wavelength. There's always compromise and there's always insistence from someone over an idea, and you know, it depends who shouts the loudest and who's got the most I suppose the strongest idea, and it will generally win out. But you know, I don't think it's too far amiss with it. It's just, you know, hopefully.
I mean, generally the person that cares the most is the one that wins, so I mean it kind of, you know, arguments tend to be pretty short these days, you know. There's a good understanding, I think.
Because he knows he's going to lose.
He backed down quicker.
After so many years of playing in bands together.
And he likes to think that.
So how would you actually describe your music? In what sort of, like, is it pop, is it rock?
Kaleidoscopic, melodic pop with a hint of gangland jazz.
Yes, with a strawberry twirl.
The thing is, I think when... The difference between the previous band and this band is that the previous band, it was a lot more rigid as to the type of song, so it did have to follow a certain style, which was generally our style, but it was more sort of alternative indie type sort of thing, a little bit gothic in a way, but not in any true sense of the word. But now, because you know, there isn't any sort of real goal of you know, going out and getting a record deal or you know, because that's so fickle, it's now, well, here's a great tune, it's got a great melody, well, it's got a slight jazz feel to it, so what, you know. So within our set now, we've got sort of rockabilly, we've got jazz, we've got sort of pop, we've got acoustic,
and some very heavy songs.
But the theme is obviously that it is still us three playing them, so that's the link that makes it Colvex. If anyone else to grab one of those songs, I'm sure it will sound completely different. But we're not afraid now that to be uncool.
Try anything, yeah.
You know, because it's just, we're doing it for the fun. And as soon as that goes, then you know, what's the point in doing it?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think at our core, we're really, you know, we're a pop stroke rock band. But we'll try anything, and that's really refreshing. That's really good, and you know, and having a new band member, you know, join us as well, that adds another element. So, you know, it's always evolving. We've never stayed still for too long, which is good.
Right, we're going to take a break and we're going to play one of your tracks, Three Guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Explain a little bit of sort of like how the song title, how it came about, who wrote it, what you were like thinking at the time. Just a bit of background.
Okay, I wrote the whole lot. And I mean, I wrote some of that. And they'd go, hang on a minute, I thought I was part of that. Originally, Gav's idea, one that was sort of born out of jamming to a certain point, or at least probably Gav had it as the original demo that was pretty much clear in his head until we pulled it to pieces and rebuilt it.
Rebuilt it,
yeah. Generally happens.
But I'm very happy with the result. I mean, I've always been happy with how that song ended up sounding, and it's kind of autobiographical is the idea. The title, Three Guys, explains itself, but I just got the idea from a guy who introduced us at one of our very early gigs. He said, here are the three guys in ties, because he couldn't remember the band name. And I thought, okay, well, that's something to hang on to. And so I just wrote a bunch of silly lyrics about each of us, and that was the song. And also musically, I mean, I just had in my mind, I was, you know, very into sort of new jazz at the time. And
Stray Cats,
absolutely, rockabilly. And so that was that, really.
All right. We, as I said, we're going to take a break and play this track. It is Three Guys. We'll be back right after this.
Because when such beautiful times.
Sounds a bit like the end of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Who was that then? Who was doing the laughing?
That was me, but it sort of ended up a little bit more sinister than I thought.
Yeah, that is a very dark
evil. It is
very sinister.
Sort of
it is good.
It sounds like Vincent Price.
So that was the three guys, and that was a song about all three of you then, sort of like, once it was ripped apart and everything.
Put back together, deconstructed, and yeah.
Things, every time I sing it, I'm thinking, oh, is this a bit about me? Was this a bit about me? And I'm thinking, is there a whole line in there that is written that I'm singing every time I sing, and it's really slagging me off?
That's probably about you.
Yeah.
Spectacularly. I don't have to worry about that, being a late comer. None of it's about me, unless the lyrics have changed.
Oh, this guy is a late comer.
We'll change the lyrics for you, mate. Don't worry about that.
It'll just take me another 6 years to learn them.
So, Rickmansworth Festival. That was recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Rickmansworth Festival is one of these things that's, it just suddenly seems to have exploded. I mean, it started off as a celebration of Rickmansworth, for the benefit of anyone that doesn't know where Rickmansworth is. It's in Hertfordshire, just near Watford. And it started off as some sort of
canal.
Canal festival, and it seems to have sort of expanded and moved to the Acrodome, sort of big lake and big sort of stage area. Now they've got a big beer tent with acoustic music one end. They got plugged in band the other end, and apparently this year there was about 30,000 people that turned up, coming from as far afield as Reading.
Can it be true?
Perhaps can be. Yeah. So I mean, it's good that something like that actually gets some support, because so many of these things last for a few years and they die off. So we've played there for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. This year being the second year, I mean, it's brilliant. Great captive audience, you know.
Very well organised.
You know, it's like a mini festival, because you've got down one side you've got all the food. Tents and food, you know, the serving places, like a mini Glastonbury, and then the other end you've got the beer tent, and
the
other side you've got the toilets, and everyone just sits there and just chills out. Plus, that was good weather this year.
It's good weather. I think the most incredible thing about this year, well, two things. First of all, it was Dave's first gig with us, which is a baptism of fire, I suppose.
It certainly was, and I don't know if the other guys in the band here are aware, but it was probably the biggest audience I've ever played to.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think that the second most astonishing thing about that was that we came off stage and then just hours later.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah, that
thought about
thing.
That already.
Simon became a dad. So
yeah, my wife's waters had broken the night before, and it was all a case of will it come just before the gig? And I was hoping if it was going to be born at in the morning, then great, I'll get out of the hospital, I'll play the gig. But as it was creeping closer and closer to the gig, I was thinking, oh, I hope it doesn't come now, because I'll literally be on stage and someone would be frantically waving at the front, saying, stop, you've got to go. And luckily it lasted a little bit longer and played the gig, but it was my son was born at 3 o'clock the next morning. Okay. So, yes.
Very
it wasn't quite as...
smooth running as it could have been, but, you know.
Still, so something to remember.
Yes.
How was your first gig then? With playing with these guys, did it go all right?
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. It's the most fun I've had in a long time, because as the guy said earlier, it's all about playing the live gigs. That's where you really get to release your energy, playing at high volumes. And my girlfriend got to see me playing for the first time in quite a while as well. She enjoyed it, had loads of friends turn up. It was just a really enjoyable experience, and despite being an outdoor gig, the weather was nice for us, the sun was out. Sun was shining.
It's the last good day we've had, I think, from memory, this summer, so yeah, very lucky.
So, to try to picture it, would you say it's the local version of Glastonbury?
Yes.
Yeah. It certainly aspires
without
to be,
the mud.
Yeah. It's a slightly higher class.
What regular
yeah,
square
class? You know, it's they've thought it through, which is always good, because Watford tried one a number of years ago and it just fell flat on its face after a while. It was just poorly done by people
there's
that really didn't know anything about it.
A lot of world music going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of should we say, councillors that thought they knew how to put on a music event, and it didn't quite work. And so that unfortunately fell through. But I suppose it's meant that it's made the Ricky Festival that much better and that's more.
Well, I think they've taken up the baton and they've probably learnt from one or two mistakes elsewhere. And you know, as Simon says, it's a very well organised kind of mini Glastonbury, and it's you know, I think it's on the up and up. So
actually, I think it's more of a mini Reading, because the Music on the Moors in Hemel, Hempstead, is more of a mini Glastonbury. It's sort of a halfway house, because that is a huge field. Apparently there's 10,000 people in the field.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
with huge screens as well. So in terms of the amount of people that you will have played to, I think
that might trump some of the other.
Yes,
yeah. 10,000 is better than the 10 that I have played to on occasions
in
the past.
Music on the Moor is coming up. That's one of our next gigs.
It's the 9th of July.
We're on stage about 5:30, I believe.
Is that 2 weeks? 1 week away?
2 weeks away, something like that.
It's coming up. So,
2 weeks away as from today, but when this gets broadcast, it's probably 1 week away.
So that's coming on Saturday, the 9th of July.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the Music on the Moors.
Huge big field.
Huge big field, and it's halfway towards Glastonbury.
Yes.
Better way to describe it.
Not in location wise, but
it's. Well, it's not Stonehenge, that's it.
I mean, that's, you know, it's a great opportunity to play to lots of people.
That's
what we do.
And we spend most of the year when we're gigging playing smaller venues in, you know, North London and
Cesspits.
Watford, and well, they're not all cesspits, come on, but yeah, I mean, it really does make it feel very worthwhile when you actually get the opportunity to play a big show. And yeah, it's great to hear your music come through a huge big sound system as well. So yeah, we're really, really enjoying those gigs.
That's good. We were going to move on to the second track, which is A Piece of the Action.
A Piece of the Action. Yes, another one of Gav's ideas.
Well, I think it's more of a collaboration this time. I mean, there's a jam session that kind of resulted in a sort of fairly punchy rock song, which I sort of took away having liked what I heard and then started scribbling down some words for. And that Simon, he got them all wrong. So.
I seem to remember I had the first chord and the first line of melody.
So he's got to get his songwriting
and,
credit,
you know. So and then he ran with it.
Yes.
But no, it's just a straight 4/4 rock again.
But yeah, I mean, I think it captures very well what we can do as a rock band, which is nice. And it's very sort of traditional, almost sort of 70s style rock song, I'd say, with nice drum solo in the middle. Thank you.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, this was the first track I ever played in the first audition with you guys. So
yes, it was.
Yeah, this an song is quite special for me.
Important song, yeah.
Yes, and if and any of the musos out there, it's in B, as are most of our songs.
Did you actually have to learn this one for the audition then?
I did, yeah. I was given a couple of songs to learn for the first audition, and then in time for the second audition, that was bumped up to about 5 or 6, plus a couple of others that we had to jam through. And I think it was my quite impressive ability to bluff my way through any musical situation that impressed them enough for them to take me on.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Anyway, we move to the track. As I said, it's A Piece of the Action.
Behind
That was a piece of the action and Colvex right here on Radio Hendon. Going back to some of the things you've done, Watford Live you've done recently.
Yes.
Watford Live, well, that was just last weekend, actually, which is an interesting experience. I mean, again, it's another one of these very, very worthwhile kind of community festival type things that has been on the go for a couple of years now in Watford. Basically an opportunity for local talent to...
Any sort of talent. You've got jugglers, you've got hula girls.
I must have missed those.
Sticks in the memory, that one.
It's hula girls. You had... Did you have lots of hulas on?
I'll let you describe this.
I can't remember. But she was just awesome. And I think that she was doing it whilst we were playing.
That's right.
A couple of years ago. And a lot of people, that's what they remembered, was the hula girl. Because she was so good at balancing this hula hoop around her waist.
Not music, no.
Yeah, forget us, you know. Thanks very much, you know. I think my mum and dad were paying more attention to her than us. But yeah, so you've got sort of folky people. I mean, on Sunday I was walking through and they had a couple of old godgers that were... had one with a little microphone and doing the blues and some was going on the piano, and it was absolutely brilliant.
It was good. I mean, it was we weren't so lucky with the weather that day. And originally, I think the idea was to have it out right out in the high street, but it was chucking it down when we arrived. And so the organisers actually found a good spot just in Charter Place in Watford, which, if you don't know, it's just outside the Harlequin Centre, the big shopping centre in Watford. And in as it worked out, it was probably the best place we could be, because you had people just... It was a thoroughfare. You had people milling through from their shopping. And so, yeah, we got quite a big crowd, really.
A truly international crowd, I understand.
Yeah, it was quite a good experience on the way back to the car with the bass when we'd finished playing there. I got stopped by some random guy I'd never met before in my entire life. I assumed he was just going to ask me what the time was or something. Could barely speak a word of English, but managed to muster the words to tell me that he'd really, really enjoyed our concert, which just made it all worthwhile, because it's not one of your friends or family blowing smoke saying, oh yeah, you're absolutely brilliant. It's somebody that I'd never met before, hadn't got a clue who he was, and he'd obviously appreciated it. So it just goes to show that these free community events such as Watford Live and the Rickmansworth Festival really do help bring music to people that might ordinarily not get a chance to go out and see live bands.
Not even be aware of the bands on their doorstep.
Yeah, so. Especially when some of the venues in the area you have to pay £5, maybe £10 to see a band you've never heard of. It's not really the kind of thing that some people do. So at least it gives people an idea of the kind of musical talent that's available in their area.
Mm. Yeah, because I actually heard of you three from actually one of our guys that came down to Rickmansworth Festival. Yeah, and he said, you got to try and get hold of these blokes. They're really good. So.
Well, he must have done something right, didn't we?
Yep.
We're going to start getting an ego now, aren't we? A bigger studio.
I haven't told you about the
library,
have I? But yeah.
What with rest of your band members? Or?
Well, no, the tapping up fund that we keep to ourselves. But anyway, that's another story.
So, you've been invited to Rickmansworth Festival, Watford Live. Where now for you? Where would you like to be?
Ricky, Watford, Hemel.
It's the tour of
New York.
Yeah. That's right.
I think we've got to finish this album. It's been going on for a number of times. It's had so many re-recordings that it'd be nice to sort of get that out, and that's the stake in the ground, and say, right, that bunch of songs is the early stage done, because we've been messing around with it for so long, and like I say, re-recording it, that it's become a bit of an albatross, really. So, you know, just can't shake it. So once that's done, we can start moving on to newer songs and start getting them recorded, but also use the album as a promotional tool.
Yeah.
Get it out there to people that do stop in the street and say, look, I really like you guys, have you got any music? We can say, yeah, we'll have a look at the website, pick up our CD.
Go to iTunes.
Or go to iTunes.
Please.
Yes. So, and plus the fact, you know, it's so much easier to do it these days than, you know, when we were younger.
Exactly. I mean, Simon touched on it earlier. I mean, we don't really engage with record companies anymore. We don't even have any aspirations to, because we've got it entirely within our control to actually record an album, promote it as best we can, and sell it directly to the public, which is really all we've ever wanted to do. We've just wanted to have our own music available for people to listen to, download these days, whatever. And that's really the kind of size of the ambition, I suppose, is to bring our music to the masses in a way that...
Our music will be on iPod.
Yes.
And iPod tunes and things like that.
iTunes playlists.
The one.
Yes. And radio stations.
And radio stations. And so, like, talking about recording, do you actually go to a studio, or have you got the equipment at home, or...
Well,
or computers and all that lot.
Well, I mean, we certainly have been to studios in the past, but the problem that we've always encountered is that you're just so much up against the clock, and I think, as you might have gathered from Simon, doing this quickly when it comes to recording is not our strong point. Mm. But very, very fortunately, I moved into a property last year, and the previous owner had a... he was a musician, and he'd soundproofed the entire basement and made it into a studio. So when I was house hunting, stumbled upon this place and...
Jammed the sound aside.
Oh my God, right, okay, gotta have that.
I would trade my wife for your recording studio.
Serenistic, mate. It's the rolling pin for you, mate.
Up the pub before you go home, then.
Yeah, so most of my recording stuff is now at Studio Gavs, on a semi-permanent basis. Of course, I'm not going to say where his address is, otherwise there might be people going and raiding it. But no, it's you know, it's everything there you need to record an album. If you've got the skill to do it, you can get pretty close to a professionally recorded album.
Yeah,
I would say as good as at the moment, because I haven't got the skill. But you know, it's
coming close though. And I think one of the reasons it's taken us as long as it has to come up with a finished product is that we're learning all the time, and I think it's actually we kind of turned a corner, I suppose, in the last year in terms of just miking things up and getting the best possible takes down, and you know, it's so near to finish now. I think that when it does actually come to market, as it were, people will be, I hope, very impressed, and I hope the wait will have been worth it.
So do you do this just like part-time, or is it full-time? Do you work during the days?
We've all got other jobs, but I think this is all about certainly my main passion.
Hmm.
And,
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, recording, writing and things like that is, you know, it's always there. You know, whether you have the opportunity as much, particularly now I've got family, you know, just to say, right, I'm going off to record, because sometimes these things can take quite a while. You know, just the simplest idea you want to capture and suddenly, you know, 6-7 hours have gone. I just don't have that opportunity now. So, but it's still fun, and that's, you know, whatever we do is if it's not fun, it becomes a chore. Then,
yeah. You
know, why do it? So, you know, I'll make my excuses and say that I'm going around Gav's to record, and we'll jam things, we'll, you know, record whatever, and until it becomes not fun, then continue to do it.
Until I shut you out.
Yes, basically, yeah, and that too, yeah.
So.
Is
this actually your first album you're trying to put together?
Yeah,
or?
Believe it or not, we got together in 2001, and 10 years later, yes, the album's ready.
For this group, our previous one, The Secrets, we had three
albums, but I mean, those were much they're recorded much faster, and I think you can hear it. I mean, there's some very, very good ideas there. I'm still very proud of the songs that we did, and one or two of them actually still get played live. But in terms of the kind of expanse of recording, then I think what we do now is much, much better.
As the next project, we'll be re-recording the original Secrets albums,
that's
one,
right.
2 and 3.
We're here till we're 80.
That's another 6 years each, yeah. So yeah, 18 years, I'll be in my 40s by then.
Which 40s?
Oh. 140s.
All right.
So, if people want to get in contact with you or want to find out more about your music, how can they?
The easiest way is the website, very simple, www.colvex.co.uk. We've also got MySpace, which is myspace.com/colvex. And if you want to email us, just email us at info@colvex.co.uk.
Simon at Colvex, Gavin at Colvex.
Yeah, fan mail to each one.
Yeah. Photographs of underwear is always welcome. Female only, not I don't know. Some man pants. Email to me, thank you very much.
An 18 plus, for God's sake.
You're very quiet in the corner there.
This is rather scared.
Yeah, I realise that my other half might listen to this. I don't want to get into the same kind of trouble that Simon's going to get himself into.
That wasn't my voice, I am Dave.
Yeah, that Sarah was my, Dave's, Simon impression, don't worry. He didn't say any of those things about wanting to see other girls' knickers. Or swapping you for Gav's studio. He's not signing the contract with him as we speak right now.
And, yeah, he's just climbing out of the hole there.
It's a good job this isn't live, otherwise I've had a text by now saying the locks have been changed.
Come on, I'll leave this in for you. Anyway, we're going to play out onto the third track. I could tell you.
I could tell you, yes.
That one, yeah, I remember that one.
What do you mean,
oh,
that one?
I remember that one.
Think, he's a man of advancing years, ladies and gentlemen. He's losing his memory.
We have a couple of songs with the word could in it.
That's true, yes.
And there's quite a number of them with I in it as well.
That's right, yeah, not very original when it comes to title.
So where did this one come from?
Again, it's one of your...
Yeah, I'm dominating things here tonight.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, it's a complicated one, I think I could tell you, but I mean...
It's in B.
It's in B, well, in the key isn't complicated, but it's a, in terms of the sound, I mean, it's a definite sort of 80s throwback in a sense, which I'm very proud of because I'm a real 80s kid. A bit of sort of Duran Duran type influence, but I think the actual subject matters are not a lot more serious than that, and it's all to do with kind of communication breakdowns, and, well, when people say things to kind of paper over the cracks. And that's really what the song's about, I suppose. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully, for one reason or another, people will respond to it, whether it's the lyrics or whether it's the 80s music. So,
yeah, we've got a great sort of a dance rhythm in the middle as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Simon threw it, and it was getting too depressing for him, so he decided to Ibiza it up.
He hated it. He goes, what have you done to the middle? What have you done to the chorus? And I thought, well, I'll just keep quiet. And within 2 weeks, he goes, that's really grown on me. I like that.
I think I'd actually gone to Ibiza in the meantime. And finally worked out why he'd done it. So,
how would you write a piece of track? Is it everyday experiences?
There isn't a routine. You just write as the situation demands it, and you can go through a real spurt of writing song after song after song. And then you can get writer's block as well. And, you know, I tend to find it's one or the other myself. You know, I don't sort of churn out a song a month, you know, that sort of thing. It's more when the inspiration takes me. And I don't know about Simon, but...
There's a lot of half ideas, and I think that's pretty much the norm. I mean, you listen to most bands and... You know, the ones that are well documented. I mean, I'll use an example of something like the Beatles. That you go back and you hear some of McCartney's half ideas, then suddenly, you know, 10, 15 years later, they've been developed into full songs. Now, obviously, people like that have got the time to do it. So, you know, there's a lot of half ideas that I've come up with on an 8-track, you know, recording, and probably a lot of ideas that you've come up, you know, that don't really see the light of day again. And sometimes they're really good ideas, but I think it's just finding the time again to develop them. And you know, we've got day jobs, we've got commitments, so it's quite hard to do. So I've completely forgot the question. So anyway,
the process of writing.
At the end of the day, I think the things that need to come out do come out, and the cream rises to the surface, I think. And so I think there are very few songs left in the kit bag, as it were, that, you know, really should be there ahead of something that's already made it, you know, and I think if that makes sense. And there are plenty of ideas there waiting in line, but I think the ones that kind of scream to get played do get played generally. But it's an evolution, you never know.
So all your tracks or everything you perform live is all originals, you don't do any...
We have been known to do the occasional cover. We used to do a lot more with our first bass player, Scott, just for fun, really. We used to play David Bowie. We used to play Queen a lot. All huge Queen fans.
I think it was Chris Isaac there.
Chris Isaac.
Yeah, my goodness.
And we kind of cut that out. We cut that out as we went on a bit because it seemed like a bit of a waste of time. But I think these days, I think we'd probably be open to playing one or two.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Watch your space as such.
Yep, indeed. That's all I ever used to do.
Lady Gaga covers coming up, folks.
Yep. All I ever did was play covers in previous bands before, pretty much no original, so it made a nice change to meet up with these guys and play stuff that I'd never heard before. But I wouldn't mind the odd cover here and there.
Yeah.
So which
my mother asked, said, she said, Oh, I wish you would play a couple of other people's songs. I think that would be nice for other people. And I'm thinking, well, what do you mean, Elton John? Because that was the last thing she suggested. So you've got this set with an Elton John song in the middle. That's
you're going to say Barry Manilow, aren't you?
There's like, no yeah. wrong with Barry Manilow. Puff his nose.
Apart from the facelift, sure.
Oh, I don't know.
I think we better leave that one there.
Yes. Before. Always ends up on Barry Manilow at some point in one of these interviews. What is going on?
So we're going to leave everyone with the I Could Tell You. This is this one of your tracks from your album?
Yep.
Yes, it is, yes.
All these tracks that we've played tonight.
All of the tracks that we've played so far will be appearing on the album. We've got probably about another 12, 13 in the works as well, and then we've got to make some hard decisions, I think, about what makes it what doesn't. But yes, I think all three of these would
check our website, colvex.co.uk.
Yep. Check back for updates as and when.
And what's the website, Colvex?
Colvex.co.uk.
And then you'll post, obviously, all the information on your website as and when. Hopefully
absolutely.
It won't be too long now.
Yeah.
And your next event is on the Saturday, the 9th of July.
Yeah, that's the big one. That's Music on the Moor. And I'd like to see as many of you as possible that are listening, because really do appreciate the support, and it's a great gig. So do come.
We're about 5 o'clock. We're on.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Yes.
5 o'clock. Thanks for joining us this evening, and good luck with the future. And here's your third track for this evening, I Could Tell You.
My fault. news, entertainment and information for the Hillingdon Hospital 24 hours a day.
This is Radio Hillingdon.